Welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. And today we're talking game two of the Western Conference Finals. What's up, Corey?
Nothing much, Nick. Just got done enjoying a nice 22-point blowout for the Rockets. Well, I mean, maybe not a blowout, but it ended up being a blowout.
Yeah, they pulled away in the third and fourth quarter, and they definitely took a nice 22-point win, tied up the series 1-1. Before we get started, just a quick reminder, you can listen to all of our conference finals recaps on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, and Google Play. Also, quick note, check out OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. We will be doing giveaways for possibly the rest of the conference finals, so keep an eye on that. But let's talk about the game. Rockets came through big, 127-105. What were your thoughts on this one?
It's amazing. What happens when James Harden doesn't have to try and isolate, you know, constant isolations to get himself going, and he can rely on other guys? You know, Trevor Ariza and PJ Tucker were huge tonight. Eric Gordon showed some explosion offensively, which you know, said would be huge for them over Twitter today. And shockingly enough, he was huge. Chris Paul wasn't great offensively, but he was there. It just showed what the Rockets can do when the ball is flowing. You know, James Harden, I think, had 545 dribbles in game one. He surely didn't have that many in game two because he didn't need to.
Exactly. The ball moved a lot crisper. And just from the get-go, you could feel the Rockets came out with more energy, a different level. And that had to do with, you know, on-ball defense, rotations, pushing the pace, not necessarily getting fast break points, but pushing the pace, getting some mismatches. Then there was also a lot more off-ball movement. I think that really helped. And like you said, the role guys, Eric Gordon dropped 27 on 8 of 15 from the field. PJ Tucker, 5 of 6 from 3. Trevor Ariza only had 19 points, but that's huge. I think, you know, it's gonna sound kind of crazy, but KD had 38, but Ariza did a really good job on him and made his life a lot more difficult in game one.
Yeah, for sure. The defensive impact was clear. I mean, obviously Durant is Durant. You know, he had 38 points and he still dominated, but the impact was still felt.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to say this. Maybe it sounds like a hot take. Yeah, I think the Rockets were actually okay with Kevin Durant scoring 38 points, because if you look at it from the perspective of the Warriors' offense, it was completely out of sync. They relied so much on ISO, and the Warriors all season, all their success, it's been a lot of player movement, a lot of off-ball movement, and it just felt like they were relying on Kevin Durant to take away from the mismatches. And then when it was time for Steph and Klay to hit shots, you know, they weren't really warmed up, and it's kind of what happened to the Rockets in game one happened to the Warriors in game two.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, even though Klay shot 50% from three, you know, they really took away, you know, in game one, for example, post game, he made that comment saying, you know, I can't recall the last time I've had that many wide open shots in a playoff game. Well, he didn't get, you know, barely, I think he had one tonight where he was wide open. They did a good job keeping him limited. And like you mentioned, you know, Curry has yet to find any rhythm yet in this series.
And to touch on Klay, you know what they did a really good job of? Forcing him to dribble the ball. They really, you know, just collapsed on him when he was at the three-point line and forced him to put the ball on the floor, and that's not his strong suit. And then Curry, like you mentioned, you know, the frustration is very high from him. 1 of 8 this game, and they constantly attacked him on the defensive side of the ball. You know, it's Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon. Everybody just went at Steph, and not only did they score on him, but when they didn't score, they caused problems for the Warriors' defense and opened up for different guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you mentioned, defensively, you know, I saw Harden, especially in the third quarter. It just feels like whenever there's a switch for Harden, he gets Curry on him. That's when isolation is at its best. You know, when you get a switch and you see a defender like Curry in front of you, you attack that. That's an isolation play. That's when you need to isolate. And that's what I think was so different about this game compared to game one, is even though the Rockets, you know, we're moving the ball around, they ISO'd when they needed to. And that's exactly what Mike D'Antoni was saying post-game. You know, he was saying, like, we don't have to change what we've done. What we've done, one of 65 games this year. But, you know, it only works when the ball is moving and then you use isolation in a smart, effective way.
Yeah, and they just played harder, too. You know, some of that in game one, they didn't play as hard, and the engagement was higher, too. You know, like I said, the off-ball movement and some of the things. And when they play their death lineup, when they play P.J. Tucker at the five and they get Eric Gordon in there, too, you know, it's very hard to not switch with all the three-point shooters, especially when they're knocking down the shots. And then it almost forces you to switch Curry on the Harden. There's not really much you can do.
Yeah, I mean, and we saw tonight the Hampton Five was not a death lineup at all. You know, every single Warrior starter finished with a minus 20 or worse. You know, that five was ineffective.
Doing some quick math, 38 for KD. The rest of the starting lineup, the rest of the Hampton Five, only had 37 points. So he outscored them by himself.
Yeah, and Kevin Durant also was a team worst, minus 28.
And that's, like I said, I felt like, not that the Rockets want him to light it up, but if he's going to go ISO so much, it's going to take the Warriors out of the offense and they're going to lose some of the rhythm. And that's one of the biggest things for a team like that, especially knocking down three-point shots. And tonight, their three-point percentage wasn't crazy. 9 of 30, and the Rockets, on the other hand, 16 of 42, 38%.
Yeah, and, you know, that's another thing. You know, no one, you know, and not that the Warriors bench, you know, lit it up, but, you know, Nick Young had three threes in game one. He only had, you know, he was 2 for 6 tonight. Iggy, I believe he had double digit in points last game. He only had 5 tonight. What?
I think he had 11 in game one. And like we mentioned, 7 of 8 free throws in game one, too.
Yeah. You know, it's just ineffective. And Kevin Durant, although he's had 38 points, you know, I would like to see some of his other numbers pick up. You know, he's not going for any rebounds. I haven't seen him in the paint much defensively. You know, I don't even know if he had a block in game one.
Yeah, zero assists as well, and 5 turnovers in this game. I think they sent a couple doubles in this game, not a ton, and it, you know, worked out fine because he wasn't really passing the ball. Steph, he struggled offensively, but at least he did put in some rebounds, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 turnovers. Draymond, he's a guy that I felt like had a very nice, you know, low key game one. This game offensively, he really didn't do as much. He had 6 assists, but he also had 4 turnovers. And defensively, I felt like even James Harden worked him a few times. It wasn't the same defensive game from Draymond in game two.
Yeah, Draymond, it's funny. He didn't look as aggressive this game even. And like in the sense of
his attitude.
Yeah, like a chip on the shoulder Draymond was completely there in game one. And I don't know, I kind of felt like that from the Warriors in general. It kind of felt like they weren't worried about losing this game almost. It just had that – there wasn't a sense of urgency in this game.
Yeah, and that's a very scary game to play because, you know, Houston played well. Like I said, the effort level, energy level was high. They did only shoot 38% from three, and this is a team that we know can have nights where they can just get kind of irrationally hot and shoot 50% and win a game that they're not supposed to. So if you're the Warriors, you got to take a team like Houston a little bit more serious. You know, a 22-point loss, you know, they were down by, I think, up to 28 points in this playoff game. It feels like this is the biggest competition they've had in quite some time.
And let's say this too, Nick. You know, the Rockets won by 22, right? They shot 38% from three. Well, you know, James Harden, Chris Paul were 4 for 20 from three.
And that's not going to happen again, most likely.
No, I can't see. I mean, obviously, James Harden tossing up 15 threes is whatever and shooting 37% for the game. But, you know, if you're the Warriors, and this is just like, you know, playoffs, momentum is so quickly gained and lost in the playoffs. And the Rockets, all their role players, they're going to have a ton of confidence right now, especially in the fact that they won a game where your stars, you know, weren't, you know, shooting the ball effectively. Like if you're the Rockets, you have got to be feeling good going into game three.
And I think Eric Gordon really could be a deciding factor in the series. You know, he's not obviously going to play this well every single game, but if they can get 20 a game from him, they just need that other score. And, you know, Chris Paul wasn't amazing. He had a big third quarter scoring-wise, but he was more of that all-around point guard that we're used to seeing from him. They didn't need him to put up 25 or 30 points. They had Eric Gordon and some of the other guys put in some effort. So I think that it kind of allows Chris Paul to play his game a little bit better too.
I mean, Eric Gordon, you know, I mean, he was the bench scoring. Right. I mean, the role players obviously stepped up. But aside from him, you know, Gerald Green had 3 points. Abalamute had 2, which, again, you know, he's now unplayable, I think, in this series. I think he's pretty much played himself onto the bench. Joe Johnson gave you crap. Tariq Black had 2 minutes in the you know, garbage time. But, you know, Eric Gordon was huge, like you mentioned. And defensively, I don't feel like he got burned as much as he did in game one.
I think defensively, if you're just putting in effort, you know, it looks a lot better than if you're just getting blown by. Even James Harden, I felt like in this game, you know, he whiffed on a few plays, but in game one, it felt like he was whiffing all over the place. You know, there was a couple plays where he actually made some solid defensive efforts, and that was kind of impressive, and I think that kind of set the tone for the team. Like I said, overall, the energy level just felt a lot better, and I think Mike D'Antoni said it, you know, the Warriors felt the Rockets this game. In game one, the Warriors just did their own thing, and they ran their offense, they ran their defense, and they just had a good old time.
Yeah, and also I felt like even in the first game to a degree, you know, even when the Rockets had some leads, it never felt like they were in control of the game. And from this one, you know, I can say like the 6-minute mark in the first quarter, it felt like the Rockets were in control of this game.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that had to do with the pace. You know, you saw James Harden, you saw Chris Paul, you know, push the ball down the floor, maybe throw a couple passes. Ariza broke out on the break a couple times. I think transition was definitely something to keep an eye on. Also, turnovers were huge in this game. We complimented the Warriors in game one for protecting the ball. This game, 15 turnovers, 13 turnovers for the Rockets, but 15 turnovers for the Warriors and a lot of turnovers to start the game, which allowed the Rockets to kind of get going.
Well, I mean, that was something we saw in game one. I think if I recall the stat right, it was the Warriors won the fast break like 18-2. In this game, we saw Houston in transition. You know, I think it was like triple the amount of times we saw them in game one. You know, like you mentioned, every turnover the Warriors had, it benefited Houston. Whereas in game one, it was vice versa.
Yeah, it really was like the roles kind of flipped in this game, because even all the Warriors' miscues, it felt like the Rockets capitalized not only the turnovers but the missed rotations. It felt like the Rockets got a lot more easy buckets in this game. A couple dunks, a couple easy lay-ins, things that we just didn't see in game one for Houston.
Yeah, for sure. If people were really getting on D'Antoni, so he doesn't know how to adjust. You know, D'Antoni, he made a few adjustments where he needed to, and I feel like, honestly, he did everything right. And I think he deserves some credit, because the people were really hard on him after the game one loss.
I think they were a little bit too hard on him, because they acted like Houston was blown out of that game and they had no chance. They were in that game. I think a lot of the issues came defensively and a lot of them came with effort, and then the ball movement wasn't there. You know, it was a lot of the players just not playing their game. They were kind of just a little bit out of it in game one. This game, we saw the Houston Rockets we saw all regular season. So I think D'Antoni, you're right, deserves a lot of credit for sticking to his guns. And people saying like, oh, they need to change their offense. Like, why would you change your offense in the Western Conference Finals when you were one of the best offensive teams in the league and probably over the last 5 years this season?
Yeah, for sure. Dan, you know, like we mentioned, it's a what have you done for me lately league. It feels like every time in the playoffs, it goes from game to game, takes and everything changed. But D'Antoni definitely deserves a little bit of praise for his. I was watching First Take this morning, and, you know, they were, Stephen A was just ranting about how, you know, D'Antoni, like, just pretty much saying, you know, what you expect. He's like, well, he's my coach of the year, but he's not built for the playoffs. And, you know, I think he did great tonight to at least quiet some of that hate.
Yeah, it's not like he just got to the Western Conference Finals in only 10 games, but whatever. But best Rocket players tonight, you know, who really stuck out to you?
I mean, I got to say P.J. Tucker is for one, you know, 8 of 9 shooting. Obviously, P.J. Tucker is, I don't want to say he's J.R. Smith because that's just disrespectful. But he's just streaky. You know, you never know what you're going to get from P.J. Tucker offensively. And, you know, he made every three he needed to make, he made, you know, 5 or 6 from three, 83.3%, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, you know, only 1 turnover. He was really good, very physical defensively. And I think, you know, shooting 88.9%, like that says it all. You know, Trevor Ariza shooting 77.8%. I mean, like, that's crazy efficient. Like, there's nothing you can do if you're the Warriors and you got guys like that hitting almost every shot they take.
Yeah, and I think some of it, though, has to do with the Warriors' defense allowing guys to get open shots early.
Tucker had a lot of open shots.
Yeah, and when you allow guys, and that was part of that new death lineup, you know, not new, but, you know, that death lineup the Rockets were throwing out there. And I think this is probably, I'm not a P.J. Tucker historian, but this is probably his best playoff game of his career. I know it was a career high scoring with 22, but also 7 rebounds, 4 assists, only 1 turnover, a steal. And I think his leadership is a little bit underrated on this team. He's one guy that gets after the team when they don't show up defensively. There was a specific play, I want to say, in the third quarter where KD got an easy bucket in transition, and Gerald Green and James Harden was back, and you saw him from the bench kind of get after him, and, you know, you need to step up, get in front of him, at least foul him, don't give him an easy bucket. And I think that says a lot about PJ Tucker.
No, I agree. I haven't watched a ton of the Rockets as much probably as I should have this year, but, you know, even in the few games I've seen, like you mentioned, he's always the guy when something happens defensively, he's going over to that guy and he's just, you know, giving them a spiel. He's letting them know what they should have done or whatever. He really has been an X factor.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with Eric Gordon for my best player. I think, like I said, that another scoring factor, 8 of 15 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3, very confident, and he was able to really break down a lot of different Warriors. You know, when he got to the rim and he attacked, obviously he still took 9 threes, but I felt like he did a good job of getting in the paint as well. And then, you know, a shout-out to Trevor Ariza for playing both sides of the ball and getting those easy transition buckets early in the game.
Yeah, for sure. Are you concerned? I mean, I don't think you're concerned, but what do you think about Clint Capela not really being involved in offense, or to a degree being taken out of the offense by the Warriors?
It's interesting. You know, it's definitely something I was thinking about watching the game, and it's really hard to complain about it because the Rockets played so well and they won the game. I think you're okay with it when you win by 20. If it was a game where they had lost, you know, it's a little bit different. But I think Capella did a solid job defensively, putting in the effort. Offensively, he was still kind of attacking the boards, 10 rebounds tonight. You know, sometimes it's just going to be hard for him to score. There was a couple buckets where he probably could have, you know, got some better positions. He also was 1 of 5 from the free throw line. So he can definitely play better, but not super concerning. I think it's just a really hard series for him with the way that the Warriors, like I mentioned in the previous show, take away those oops.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it's just not a series for him in particular. Even though in 30 minutes he was still plus 12, I just don't think offensively it's a series we're going to see him be crazy, you know, actively, unless the pick and roll changes in, you know, the next two games,
which it could. I could see some defensive changes coming from the Warriors, and maybe that allowing some more opportunities for Capella. Like we mentioned, Curry being an issue defensively and getting attacked a lot, and some of the flaws they showed in, you know, the Warriors defense. And I could see Capella maybe getting involved more in the future, especially if Draymond has a game where he gets into foul trouble, because like I mentioned, Draymond, like, he didn't have an amazing game, but he does a great job boxing Capella out and really making it tough. There was one play where Capella got his hand on the ball, but Draymond just kept boxing him out and pretty much just took him out of the paint.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the one thing positive about Draymond defensively is, you know,
fundamentals,
or offensively I should say, is he, or what did I just say?
Defensively, I think you're right. I think you're going with defense.
Yeah, I'm just crisscrossing my words. he really does a good job of physicality, and you know, that affects Clint Capella and everything.
What would you say was the Rocket that you want to see step up in Game 3?
I'm still looking for a Chris Paul sight, like a big Chris Paul sighting. Even though, you know, tonight he made Curry dance a few times again, which I always like seeing, because as we know, you know, Curry has put Chris Paul through the blender once or twice. So I would like to see Chris Paul be a little bit more aggressive offensively. But again, you know, like you mentioned, this was a really good overall game by Chris Paul. You know, he didn't do anything excessively well, but, you know, 3 steals, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. 16 points. And the 1-3 he had was a nice little high arcing shot, I think even the first half. But, you know, I'm okay with how he's played, but I would like to see him just be a little bit more aggressive. I think they're going to need it, especially at Oracle.
And I think the one nice thing about Paul is that he stepped up in the third quarter when he had 11 points, and we know that's the Warriors' quarter. And the Rockets won that quarter, and I thought that was very big. And, you know, I'm sure Chris Paul knew the Warriors always come out and dominate the third, so being aggressive at that point really helped. Are you concerned with his Achilles or ankle, whatever is wrong at this time? Because it definitely seemed to bother him in the fourth.
I mean, I'm somewhat concerned, but as we know, we now have a few days off from
which is huge.
The next game. So, you know, we got 2 days off. He can maybe, you know, obviously with how training staffs are, they're going to have the medical technology to give him, you know, the best case to try and be as ready as he can be. I'm not overly concerned yet, but, you know, if he comes out in Game 3 and he looks a little bit hobbled or a little bit banged up, then, yeah, I'll be a little concerned. But for now, I'm just going to let it ride.
Yeah, I think that, you know, having the break should really help him. Abah Moute is going to be the guy for me that needs to step up, though. Again, missing layups, and I saw a tweet and a report. You know, he doesn't feel 100% comfortable with that shoulder yet. And it makes sense, because a couple of these layups, it feels like he could have dunked, but he hasn't. And if, as you know, he got injured, he injured that shoulder again, dunking the ball. So it's somewhat of a concern, because it looks like it's somewhat of a mental aspect for Abah Moute.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's an issue. That's like the... There's always a mental hurdle for injuries. I can only relate to a few guys I've seen take an injury, but like Paul George, for example, when he broke his leg, you know, when he first came back at the end of a one season, he didn't, you can tell that he wasn't comfortable yet. Like he wasn't aggressive going to the basket, and, you know, he wasn't sure about his leg. And I think, you know, Abah Moute, obviously it's a shoulder, but like you mentioned, he got hurt dunking. You know, that's a normal
out.
NBA activity.
Yeah, it's scary too, because it's just like an easy way. You know, when your shoulder pops out, it usually pops out again. So I'm sure it's something that definitely has made him scared. But on the Warrior side, obviously Kevin Durant had the biggest game scoring wise, but who else was the best Warrior out there? Was anybody else stick out to you and had a nice game?
I mean, Sean Livingston had a nice 18 minutes. I mean, he didn't do anything excessively well, but he just played a nice solid, you know, contribution. He had a nice dunk.
I love Sean.
It was rough besides Kevin Durant, you know, offensively. I don't think the Warriors played good as a whole, so it's tough for me to say one guy played well.
Yeah, I agree. I think Livingston kind of still did his thing. KD did his thing. And, you know, maybe you want to say Looney had a couple good possessions, but overall, just like the Warriors team effort just wasn't very high. Which Warrior needs to step up the most for game three?
It's got to be Curry. He's the leader of this team, right? We've been saying it all year that he's like the engine that makes the Warriors go. Kevin Durant may be the best player on this roster, but Stephen Curry is the most impactful, and he hasn't been impactful. I mean, it's just facts. Like you mentioned, 7 of 19 shooting, 1 of 8 from 3, minus 20, you know, 2 turnovers. Defensively, he keeps getting cooked. I mean, defensively, it is what it is. You know, he's not a great defender. We know this. He can have some solid possessions, but he's just not very laterally quick. You know, James Harden, when he has him matched up against him, he blows by him every time for the most part.
And, you know, Harden is just physically bigger than Steph. Like, Harden's a 6'6", a strong guy. Curry's a 6'3". He's a pretty strong dude. But Harden's just physically bigger than him, and it's just a mismatch. You know, Curry can hold his own in terms of defense, just being an average defender. He does a good job off ball. But when you're just outmatched physically, there's only so much you can do. And I feel like that's the case with James Harden on Steph Curry.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's pretty accurate.
So, I mean, they're going to have to make some adjustments. Steve Kerr is a great coach. We know that. But I 100% agree. I think Curry has to be that guy. And he has to bring that swag back to the offense. Get that rhythm going. And when Curry's hitting the crazy threes, it's easy to see the team get happy. The energy effort gets high. You know, the Houston team or the opposing defense gets a little bit nervous. And everybody's kind of pressing a little bit. And you just don't see that, especially when he's 1 of 8. You know, he hit that 1 3 and it would look like, oh, maybe he'll get hot. And then it just really nothing came out of it.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, they keep showing like the Steve Kerr, you know, sound bites of him talking to Curry off the floor. And he's giving him the encouragement. And normally, you know, we see Curry kind of take that to heart and then he kind of like flips the switch. I do think, even though I was wrong today and I called it, you know, I tried to call it, I think there's going to be, you know, a game three or possibly a game four in the third quarter where we see Curry explode. Because that's generally, you know, from at least my memory, you know, Curry goes on most of his, you know, streaky, phenomenal runs in that third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Warriors. The Warriors just have a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right. It's
they
tough.
Probably have, like, some historical runs, probably, like, the most ever in the third quarter in a one-year span or something like that. I also think Klay Thompson, you know, I want to say at one point he only had 8 shots. Like, he only has 11 shots, and he's a guy that could, you know, he could have possibly taken his next 4 shots and hit them all. And I think some of it is just maybe getting him better looks, and it doesn't have to be threes because that seems what Houston's really trying to take away. So maybe get, you know, get Klay some off-ball screens, maybe work him in that mid-range, some elbow shots just to get him going and force the defense to defend him at all levels. Don't really try to make Klay put the ball on the floor if you're the Warriors. You know, that's not his best skill set. And I think at times they've kind of baited him into doing that where Klay feels like he has a mismatch, but he just doesn't seem as comfortable shooting the ball off the dribble.
No, I mean, for example, that, you know, that 60-point freakish game he had against the Pacers a couple of years ago, you know, I think he had, you know, what, like 11 dribbles. He held the ball for like a total of 90 seconds and scored 60 points.
Exactly.
Klay Thompson is electric when he doesn't have to do much. When he literally is told to just score, whether that's shooting or, you know, catching a couple, you know, easy transitional layups or dunks, he doesn't need a lot. And like you said, he definitely isn't as comfortable when he has to put the ball down on the floor. Not that he can't do it, but it's definitely not a part of his game that he would like to do often.
Exactly. And I mean, if you're Houston, I felt like Houston just got Golden State in a lot of more favorable positions where they're like, all right, take that shot, do that thing. We don't really care. We feel like we've won this defensively. If you score, you score. Kind of almost the same thing with Kevin Durant because, you know, Durant did score 38 and shot 13 to 22. But similar to LeBron against Boston, you know, probably at least 4 or 5 of those shots were very difficult shots.
Yeah. I mean, there was one in particular where he was at the free throw. I can't say what quarter, but he was at the free throw line. I believe Trevor Ariza was on him and he hit a free throw line jump shot. But I remember as he was going up, I was thinking, oh my God, like there's no space. And he drained it. And I was just like, yeah, but it's Kevin Durant. So I don't even know why I'm, you know, worrying or doubting his shot selection.
It's incredible. You know,
yeah. Especially like, just, you know, the height and his ability to extend the jump shot over top of the defender is unreal. Like the few times he had Chris Paul on him early in the game, you know, what's Chris Paul going to do against Kevin Durant?
Yeah, there's really not much, especially when a guy like he's literally a 7-footer going against a point guard. You know, there's not really much he can do. And Chris Paul actually did a solid job on a few points poking the ball away, but that's the best thing he can really do. But talking adjustments for game three, what do you want to see on the Golden State side?
I want to see more ball movement. I just want to see more ball movement. I want to see I want to see less Kevin Durant in isolation. I get it works. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but you can kind of make the same, you know, the same arguments that went against the Rockets in game one, you can make them for the Warriors in game two. You know, Kevin Durant can't ISO this much. You know, there's got to be a more cohesive offensive effort. You know, there's got to be more ball movement. You know, even though Draymond Green still had 6 assists and Curry had 7, the ball didn't feel like it was moving around like it was in game one still.
Especially when it hit Kevin Durant's hands. You know, when Kevin Durant got the ball, it felt like you knew what he was going to do. He was going to try to score. And like we pointed out, 0 assists. I think that's just spot on. The Warriors need to get back to running their offense. Maybe that means Durant's going to take less shots and work less ISOs, but it could mean Steph Curry and Klay Thompson have a great game. Or, you know, if Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson all have an average game for themselves, which is, you know, somewhere between 20 and 30 points, you know, the Warriors in a lot better position than they are tonight. And I think defensively, pick up the engagement, pick up the effort level. Don't play lazy defense. Don't take this, you know, opportunity for granted. Really capitalize on that. Protect the ball and also do a better job of trying to protect Steph defensively.
Yeah, I think in game three, offensively, what I would do for the Warriors is I would set a ton of off-ball screens. I would do everything I can to give Thompson and Curry some easier looks to start off that game, just so they can hit, you know, one or two, have that Oracle crowd, you know, rant and rave, and just to get the confidence back up.
Yeah, no, I think
Especially for
that's.
Curry. I think for Curry, it's the most important thing, especially, you know, we know how loud Oracle is. We know that's one of the, you know, the top three, you know, fan bases right now in the NBA for, you know, a good reason. And I think, you know, if he was to hit, you know, a couple threes early or even a couple jump shots early, whether they're, you know, an off-screen look or he somehow gets loose, I think that can completely change this series for Curry. Because honestly, what we know about shooters is this: all the shooter needs is to see the ball go down once. And I just think Curry needs to find some kind of consistency.
And I think, and this isn't as much as a shot at Kevin Durant, but just more of a compliment to Steph Curry. I feel like when Curry gets hot and going, it helps his team a lot more than when Kevin Durant gets hot and going. You know, when Steph's hot and every he's dropping threes, it feels like the attention starts to come with him. The gravity kind of starts to absorb to him. They start to really try to prevent the ball getting in his hands. Then you see a lot of those backdoor cuts. And like you said, the off-ball screens, you know, the Warriors just getting back to the offense they've ran all year in the last few seasons and doing their thing instead of just trying to switch it up and getting this ISO ball and kind of taking the bait from the Rockets. On the Houston side, though, what do you want to see adjustment-wise?
I mean, I don't want to see much. I really would just want to see the same thing. I would like them to. I mean, it's hard. I'd like to see them extend their rotation a little bit. I mean, like you mentioned, I would still like to see some more of Abalamute, give him a chance. You know, Gerald Green in 14 minutes tonight was a +9. He played pretty solid. I would just like to see the. You know, I get worried when I see, you know, what was it? Seven guys, six guys, pretty much played, you know, 30 plus minutes, and the nearest guy was Gerald Green with 14. You know, it kind of worries me when you play that heavy in your top guys. I just feel they could get burned out. But I would, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Don't change it. Make sure the ball keeps flowing. Don't let, you know, say the Warriors get out to a really hot start in game three, which is, you know, very possible. Don't revert back to ISO. Do not pull a Toronto Raptors on us.
Yeah, and you know, like, but you can still ISO just in the right situations, but make sure you constantly are
Right.
getting everybody involved, getting that rhythm. And I think this game really benefited them getting the blowout because you look at it, a lot of guys didn't play 40 minutes. You got James Harden at 33, Gordon at 32, Chris Paul at 33, Tucker at 36, and Ariza at 35, Capella at 30. So now they're going to get that extra rest over this break, and that'll really set them up pretty nicely. But you know, adjustment wise, not really a ton to do. Just match this intensity and effort level in game three. And if you lose to the Warriors and you play this hard, you can at least go home knowing you put forth your best effort. But if you kind of show up like you did in game one and not engage, not fully, you know, putting in those hustle plays, that kind of is upsetting. And then I think CP3, you know, try to get CP3 and you Capella maybe a couple more pick and rolls just to kind of get them involved a little more.
I mean, I would definitely like to see more pick and rolls with Capella. And like we mentioned, you know, he's been kind of taken out of the offense by Draymond. But you know, I just think if he gets going, Clint Capella, it just changes the complexion. Because if you're getting easy buckets at the rim from Capella, and then you have guys like Ariza and Tucker and Gordon hitting the threes, and then Harden and Paul, you know, the stress on their shoulders completely gets lifted when all four of those guys are lighting it up.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to see, you know, Tucker Rees and Gordon probably shoot this well again in the next game. So it could be Capella that has to be the guy to step up. But what's your prediction for game three?
Game three, I'm rolling with the Warriors. I just have to go with my gut that there is a Stephen Curry explosion on the horizon. He's too good. And going home, you know, we know how Oracle is. I just think Curry's due for a big game.
I like the Warriors in game three, but I think this one's going to be down to the wire. I think this will be the best game of the series because now I think both teams know they can both play at a high level and they're both going to come to play in game three. Steph will probably, I mean, he has to show up. I mean, it's about time to see Steph Curry, you know, two-time MVP, really kind of make a splash. But I wouldn't be surprised if Houston stole it down on the wire. But I think, you know, Golden State's game to lose at home in game three. And, you know, a lot of people were like, ah, Houston lost game one. This series is over. Now they're in the same position that a lot of us expect them to be after two games at home, 1-1.
Yeah, I mean, I still have the Warriors in five because kind of what you mentioned, I don't see Ariza, Tucker, and Eric Gordon shooting this well, you know, as a unit, you know, 77%, 88%, 53%. You know, those guys all shot extremely well. And I don't know how many times they can duplicate that. Now, granted, if they duplicate that effort and, you know, James Harden, Chris Paul, you know, they shoot better and, you know, James Harden isn't, you know, shooting 20% for three on 3 for 15, then, you know, all bets are off and anything can happen. But I need to see the consistency for me to say that, you know, this is something that the Rockets can sustain in a 7-game series.
I think they'll probably get closer to the mean in the next one where you'll see James Harden and Chris Paul's numbers pick up and you'll see the other guys drop, especially Tucker and Ariza. I mean, Gordon's a guy that I'll be watching very closely because I think he's a really big factor in this series, especially with the way he played tonight. Not expecting to play this way, but I think the confidence level is just so much different in this game and almost different from what we saw all postseason.
Yeah, actually, Nick, I have a question. You know, we've mentioned this a few times in the pod about how the Rockets haven't had a signature game or signature win. Is this their signature game so far in the playoffs?
It's a signature game for the role players. I don't want to give them a signature game because, like you said, James Harden, 37% from the field, 20% from three. I think if this is a signature game, you're looking more so at Harden having 35, you know, 10 assists and shooting more respectable numbers, and Chris Paul probably having a little bit bigger game. And I think three-point percentage-wise, like, I'm not trying to say the Rockets are the best three-point shooting team ever, but we've seen games in the regular season where they've shot well over 40%. And I still think we could get one of those in the series. And that's why I have a little bit of hope that they can push us a little bit longer.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, it could not happen, but I feel like we haven't seen the Rockets really just like, they've had that incredible third quarter against the Timberwolves, but we haven't seen a full game where they're just scorching hot from three. And some of that, you know, it's tough to say with the Warriors D, but hey, it could happen.
It's funny. I think I agree. I don't think we've seen the game where the Rockets are on all cylinders. You know, Clint Capella having a double-double with, you know, 4 or 5 oops. Like you mentioned, James Harden having, you know, 35, 10, and 6. And then Chris Paul having, you know, 16 and 8. And then, like you mentioned, all the role players showing up. We definitely haven't had that moment. So I agree with you. But I do agree with the fact also that you said this is definitely the signature game for the role players, though. This is probably the best collective effort they've all had so far in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this game, too, is, you know, I don't want to say Houston played their best game because I also feel like the Warriors just didn't play that well. You know, like I mentioned, their offense was out of rhythm, and defensively they weren't playing at that championship-level defense we've seen at points in this postseason.
They didn't want it enough.
Yeah, exactly.
To me, looking at the Warriors tonight, they just didn't want it. It was almost like they were okay with stealing home court away from the Rockets, that they didn't take this, like we mentioned, I think I mentioned this earlier, they didn't take this game as seriously as they should have.
And I don't know if it's going to come back and bite them in the ass, but it possibly could. If they lose this series, I think they could look at game two, not saying they would have won for sure, but the effort level they put in could allow the Rockets to get some of that confidence they really need. But that wraps it up for today. Corey, as always, thank you for hopping on. Thank everybody for listening. Like I mentioned before, you can catch all the conference finals breakdowns on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and check out OTG Basketball on Twitter for some nice giveaways.